life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 61 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is September the 29th, 2012, and today we are joined by Lewis Smith and first-time guest Greg Driver.
Howdy all.
Howdy, Greg. Hello. And Lewis. And we are here to talk today about the 2002 anime Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. But first of all, our regular features. We'll start off with this week's UK anime releases. It's a very short list this time, and it is Dragon Ball Z, the complete series 3, which I actually have looked up in advance this time, rather than wondering what it is. It is the Freezer Saga.
Awesome saga.
I think I've actually got the American release of that. Is it? Are we talking the orange box set ones?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
I've got the American release of that. It's pretty cool, actually.
Freezer Saga is probably the best saga. I'm going
to... No way.
Of course it is.
No, Cell Games.
Definitely
the Freezer Saga, because anything after the Freezer Saga is the logical endpoint for Dragon Ball Z. Anything after that is, yes, it is.
It's not.
That's where the Saiyans finally get their revenge. It's gone full circle. That was where the manga was originally going to end.
No, it was going to end after the Cell Games.
Was it?
Well, this
I thought it was
going to
end
fluffy.
There. I thought that was the logical endpoint, and then they were going
to
kill
Cell
it.
Cell Games is meant to be the baton pass.
This is for a horn.
Maybe he changed his mind a number of times. They did make GT after all, which wasn't him, but he sold out for it. So
Freezer Saga.
He liked Akira Toriyama likes money. That's why he keeps making the.
Who doesn't? Can you do a Freezer impression, Greg? Because I know you.
I'll give it a go.
Round and round the monkey goes. Where he stops, off with his nose.
Oh god, that's pretty good. That is pretty good.
Oh, I've never seen it, so I have no idea whether it's right or wrong.
What's a Goku?
Do you try to keep up, father?
That's what he says. I'm not going to say he doesn't, because he certainly does.
In the Japanese version, the voice actor is like the most distinct of the Japanese voice actors you've ever heard as well.
Oh yeah.
Well, I've been buying the manga at the moment. I'm up to volume 4.
Oh, really? How come? What made you...
Being a travelling man, and them having their 3-for-2 offer always on, so...
Oh, that's pretty good.
I picked up six volumes of One Piece I was missing, and 3 volumes of Dragon Ball.
Is it Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z?
Manga Dragon Ball.
Yeah, it's always Dragon Ball all the way through.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. All 38 volumes.
Oh. Yep. I think they relabeled it when Viz first put it out, when they were releasing it as floppies. So I think because they released them simultaneously, so they had the Dragon Ball stuff, and they called that Dragon Ball, and the stuff which was translated into Dragon Ball Z in the anime, they called Dragon Ball Z.
And what's a floppy?
Like an American comic. So,
oh, right, okay.
Yes, the worst possible way to be reading Dragon
definitely.
Ball, really.
Definitely. Worst possible way to read anything. I hate reading those.
I don't like them. I wait for the trades. I wait for them to collect it all into one and then buy it as a trade.
Not that I sweat when I read stuff, but like the tiniest drop of water on one of those pages.
I bet you do. I bet you sweat profusely when you're reading. I bet it's the immense concentration.
Oh, yeah. We'll not get into this.
Okay, moving on to our second feature, which is What You Watch.
What you watch?
What you watch? So, Greg, this is the first time on here. What you been watching?
What have I been watching recently? Nothing new, actually. I've not actually been watching. I'm not really that up to date with like brand new anime and things like that.
Oh,
really,
it doesn't have to be anime.
Did you check out Eaten of the East? You bought that.
Eaten of the East. Yeah, I bought that on Blu-ray and watched that all the way through. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that and the movies as well. And I've been watching Black Lagoon as well. Because I recently bought that on DVD, got the full box set.
Is that the new release?
Yeah.
I managed to finally round up the 2 volumes I was missing from the original release. Thanks to that new release coming out, I was able to pick them up for 99p each.
Oh, nice.
And how many?
There's 6 volumes. So, yeah, it's 2 lots of... I can't remember if it's 12 or 13 episodes.
I think it's 12 episodes. I think it works out about 26.
I thought it was 26, and then...
26, is it?
Then you've got the new stuff, which I've still not watched. But
Roberta's Blood Trail. I've got the OVAs. I've not watched them yet.
Yeah.
I need to watch the Kenshin OVAs as well, actually. I've got those to watch.
What, Trust and Betrayal?
No, the new ones that they've done.
Oh, right. Yeah. Did all.
Yeah. And I've got the Evangelion Blu-ray to watch still. You know, they re-released Evangelion. They sort of condensed it into three movies.
Oh, you were not alone in all this 1.1.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the original series in one big box set that cost me £80 at the time, and then they've released these Blu-rays and done it as like Evangelion 1.1 and whatever. I need to watch all those.
Which are infinitely better than the original CV series.
Well, I just want to see what they've done to it and how they've made it even more of a mind rape than it was.
Well, I don't know. It's... Yeah, you'll see. It's both simultaneously more understandable and less understandable.
At the same time?
Yes.
How does that
work? because they simplify stuff, but then they're also deliberately referencing stuff from the TV series. So.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I know what Lewis watched, because I watched it as well. And that was the first Tiger and Bunny movie.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
Really, really enjoyed it. It's a film that kind of requires you to have seen the TV series, but I think you said afterwards, you know, you could watch the TV show after. I liked how it, if you've not seen Tiger and Bunny, you can go and just kind of enjoy it, but if you have seen it, it references a lot of stuff and it expands and explains a few more bits. Like, I liked the way it showed the hero transformations in a bit more detail. I liked some of the little touches it put in. It felt better quality when they started moving on to new scenes as well, and the comedy elements of it being quite, I don't know, I suppose, cryptic, or trying not to say too much because of it's probably 2 years from a, well, 18 months or 12 months till it shows up fan subs and stuff, or, you know, comes out on Blu-ray or DVD for other people to see. But I'm glad I made the trip for it.
Yeah, I was the same. Basically, it's the first two episodes of the TV series. So when it says Tiger and Bunny, the beginning, it very much is the beginning. It's not like they've tried to condense half a series into a movie or an entire series into a movie. It's basically the first two episodes re-edited with some new scenes. And then the rest of the movie is sort of a new episode, which fits in between episode two and three, with a new villain.
Ooh.
And a few things which sort of add a different setup to stuff which happens later in the series. But I've seen people say, as you've said, people seem to be coming away saying, oh, you need to have seen this TV series to understand it. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think you can watch this and then watch the TV series. I think that's
an enhancer.
Yeah, it's an enhancer. And I've seen other people complain about, oh, well, certain characters aren't as fleshed out as they are in the TV series. It's like,
what did they expect?
Exactly, only covers two episodes worth. And in terms of how those characters were in those two episodes, you do see them a bit more fleshed out. Literally, in the case of Rock Bison and his tendency to take his shirt off.
Did anyone hate it? That's what I want to know. Has anyone hated this?
Not that I've seen, no.
There's got to be someone somewhere.
I'm going to hate this. I'm still not convinced.
You'll be lucky and get to watch it at Aya.
There's going to be some festering troll somewhere that hates it. He's going to be sat in the corner.
That's going to be me. I'm still not convinced by it. I'll probably see it and I'll probably love it, but
he's not even watched it yet, and the mold's already starting to go.
Yeah, I will say the new villain is really good. He's got a really good superpower that I think could only really work in a sort of a cartoon setting. It's not. While it's a superpower, it couldn't actually work on the printed page. It has to be animated to get the effect.
Mm. Well, I tell you what I did catch recently, actually, because I caught it the other night on film 4, Paprika.
Aha, yeah. We shall be doing an episode on that in the new year. It is on our schedule.
Get your name down fast, Greg.
I'll come for that then. I'll be down for that. Because as far as I'm concerned, I won't go into too much detail, but it is Inception.
What? You are not the first person to have said that.
Inception?
Now you're making me want to rewatch both. I've got controversial opinions on Inception.
Oh, great film. Great film.
Great film.
Great film.
Too long.
Too predictable.
But how many saw? Jaws is predictable.
I figured the end out halfway through.
Jaws is predictable. Jaws is an amazing film.
Jaws is
it is. There's so many great predictable. That's part of the beauty. It's like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know he's gonna kick right off, and that's part of the beauty.
I like it when a film smacks you in the face at the end of it with something you didn't expect.
Oh. You just know Jaws is gonna kick off.
No,
I just want to see a sitcom now about Jaws getting annoyed by petty little things and then start eating people. So, an extremely violent version of Curb Your Enthusiasm. He gets annoyed that they've taken down the sandwich named after him. And, starts
loses
eating
his temper because the cleaner fish aren't doing their job properly.
Just before we move on with the from Tiger and Bunny, I was just going to say the other thing. I found it quite apt that they've named the next film, which comes out next year, Tiger and Bunny Rising. Just kind of after the Batman film has just come out, you're kind of thinking,
Oh, it'll not be a patch.
And that one does seem to be set after the TV series. So
that's more like it.
This second film that comes out next year, I heard that they're going to have Christian Bale voice in one of the characters.
Oh god!
It is real accent. He really Welsh.
He doesn't have that anymore.
That's true. He does not have.
He lost that years ago.
It's like Jared Butler's still got a twinge of Scottish, though, hasn't he? He's one of those people that will never lose it. When he gets angry in films, you can hear it. It comes out.
Fool on like you for watching Jared Butler films.
In 300, when Jared Butler loses his temper, he gets Scottish.
Don't we all?
It's a common trait
of the Scots, angry.
All of us turn into angry Scots, won't we?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say about I've been to a few of these BFI showings, and that was, I don't know, maybe the second most con-like audience, because normally you actually get like a bunch of families in from London or people who just might go to the BFI anyway, but there was a lot more fangirls at the Tiger and Bunny, but I don't know whether it had as many fanboys as the showing of...
I'd go say it was pretty much nothing but fangirls.
Eva 2.0, that was the most fan-like showing I've seen at the BFI. The guy sat next to me could not sit still with excitement. That's how exciting it was.
Guy in a plug suit sat next to you.
There were people who'd showed up in cosplay, which is rare for these BFI showings. Mm-hmm. Like the last BFI showing I went to, I saw people in cosplay at London, but they weren't actually turning up to what I went to see.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
I'm kind of glad no one did that thing that you
get. I've seen people in cosplay randomly wandering around Leicester recently, just for no reason.
Yeah, that was Alcon.
No, it wasn't Alcon. This is after Alcon, like way after Alcon. I've just seen people just randomly walking around dressed as Bleach characters.
Well, I've seen a lot of cyberpunk, well, not steampunk people popping up in the northeast.
You sure it's not just alternative?
No, I'm serious. There's a guy who works in my building. He's got this huge steampunk kind of Van Helsing coat thing, and he always wears like a steampunk rubber flying hat, like an aviator hat.
Oh, has he got goggles as well?
He's got goggles, yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, maybe they're just popping up everywhere. They're getting confident. Yeah. Going out in doors.
They're becoming self-aware.
Yeah.
Now, if they were self-aware, they wouldn't go out dressed like that.
True.
They lack self-awareness, which is the problem.
Yeah.
Or someone to tell them that they look ridiculous.
Yes.
But no, this guy looks pretty cool, but he's just in the wrong setting, the wrong period.
Don't go to work dressed like that.
Yeah, this guy.
I imagine he takes his coat off and he's got a shirt and a waistcoat on.
He does. I'm not even joking. And he's got like a big silly...
Is it a John Virgo waistcoat?
No.
Does it have a stopwatch? Not stopwatch.
He's got a stopwatch.
Like a gold watch.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen him in a piano key tie? And does he have a ponytail?
Is that John Virgo?
I did used to work with someone who did wear those sort of John Virgo style waistcoats to work every day. Yeah. And they used to sell them at the Peterborough Science Fiction and Fantasy Fair. In place of a personality, one will buy a waistcoat.
I remember going down to London once, and there was this guy on the train for the morning commute, and he had like this massive ponytail, a waistcoat, John Berger style waistcoat, and the loudest Tasmanian devil tie you've ever seen. It's like orange Taz tie.
Oh, Tasmanian devil ties. Goodness gracious.
Oh, I remember when I used to be a fan of Taz in my teens. Thank God I never got a tattoo.
Oh, God.
You're going to get one of those Taz tattoos on your left buttock.
Whatever happened to Taz? He just kind of died
I'm
out.
I'm pleased he did. I never... Is an yeah, image. Is yeah. a look. The character looked great. But the...
Is he not in that new Looney Tunes TV show? Where all the character designs look slightly off?
Probably.
It's probably. Like a sitcom with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. I'm sure he must show up in that.
Living in the same flat. Or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. That is, you've hit the nail on the head.
Taz Cramian Devil as he like slide through the door and stuff.
I think it's on Boomerang in the UK.
Is it filmed in front of a live audience?
It's not, no. I think they are planning another live-action cartoon
Space Jam kind of
yeah,
thing.
Like... I think it has been announced this week that they're working on that.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway, Anthony...
Well, I'm going to keep my what you watch short, and I've been watching Modern Family Season 2, and it's great.
Is that right? I mean, because I did watch it at the time, and I thought it was terrible and stopped watching it.
No, it's great. The first series is great. The second series is great. It's great. If you don't like Modern Family, then you don't know what funny things are. It's great.
I've not seen it.
It's really good.
I've not seen it, but I'll put it on my list.
It's on Netflix, so if you want to watch it, it's all there.
Everything's on Netflix. It's a shame I don't have it.
What to do?
£6 a month, get it. First month free.
Yeah, it's really worth it as well.
Just keep signing up for 3 month trials. And
they track your IP address, man. Just do the first month and you'll be hooked. There's a lot of good quality stuff on there. I don't normally advertise services like it, but it's quality.
Well, they sponsor us, so...
No, they do not. But they did supply the means for which I could watch what we're going to talk about today, which is Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, Season 1. This is another one of our 2002 anime. It was directed and written by Kenji Kamiyama, based on the comic by... Masamune Shirao. I've no idea if I'm pronouncing that right.
Is it Shirao or Shiro? I think it's Shiro.
It could be Shiro, yes.
Yeah.
Possibly. But yeah, he did the comic. And this is the TV show. Not in continuity with the movie. I've not seen the second movie. So, guys.
Oh, have you not?
No.
Oh, okay.
You've not seen this?
When did you first see this? That's what we normally
do. When did I first see this?
Yes.
I was a massive fan of the movies, and I just saw it for sale once in HMV and thought, yeah, I'll give it a go. Picked it up and watched it, loved it, fell in love with it straight away. And obviously, I just carried on buying the DVDs separately, and then after I'd bought all 7 volumes and the big tin to put them in, they brought out a box set on me, didn't they?
They did. And they consistently have sold that very cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
I
first saw it years ago. I think I must have been downloading it at some point, so slap my hand for that. But as soon as I finished watching it, I picked it up on DVD. So I think I've got the first film twice. So I've got the first film and then 2.0 version of it. I've got the second film, and I've got all of Gitsack on DVD.
Yeah.
So probably about 8 years ago I watched it, but I think the film came out after I finished watching 2.0, the second standalone Complex series.
What, which film was that, Innocence or 2.0?
Innocence was 2004.
Yeah, Innocence was out before Standalone Complex.
Not Innocence, the standalone Complex movie.
Solid State, yeah.
Yeah.
That's 2006, I think.
Yeah, I saw the TV show back when it was being fan-subbed, probably in 2002-2003, downloading it through the power of WinMX, that old file-sharing software. I think I watched the first 4 episodes of it and thought it was really boring, and I had not watched any more episodes of it since a fortnight ago.
Wow, the third episode is one of the best.
I can't even remember what happens in the third episode, even now.
The second one's the one giant think tank going on a rampage.
Oh, I would not say that's one of the best. I'd say that's one of the best Pat Labor episodes, which they ripped off for a Ghost of the Shell episode.
When we talk about it, I don't know if we can jump. Yeah, but I find that one's quite philosophical.
It's all very philosophical, the whole thing.
But that one I like because it's a lot of what makes you human or not.
The reason, the reason I enjoy the series as a whole, though, is because it answers all those 4 o'clock in the morning questions.
Well, does it really answer them?
Or well, yeah, it does.
Bring them up at like a godly hour.
In a way, it kind of answers them. you know, like when you sit there at 4 a.m. thinking, "Do I see red the same way as he sees red?" You ever done that? You ever had that conversation with anyone?
I'm not in four in the morning. During the day, I have. To myself. I've not really brought it up with anyone else.
But the answer the TV show normally gives you is, who cares?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Anyway, Anthony, when did you first see this?
I was kind of in the same boat as Brian, and I really didn't like it. I'm blaming watching it in Japanese. It's far too wordy to watch in a language that you can't just flow alongside. And I think that's why I didn't like it back then.
It's something you have to make a commitment to as well. If you're going to sit down and watch an episode, you've got to concentrate. Because if you look away for 2 seconds, that's
it. You've missed so much dialogue, and there's a lot of it.
You've missed Aramaki banging on about politics, and that's it. You're lost for the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really, because most of the episodes are standalone, so...
Yeah, the ones that I cared about. Like, not that there's a lot I care about, but the ones that I really cared about, obviously I couldn't really... blink if I was ever watching
it all kind of like some there's like a, the although they're all stand like there's like standalone episodes, you'll find that some of the things that happen in them will have a bearing on what happens in later episodes
But anyway, who wants to have a crack at telling somebody who does not know what Ghost in the Shell standalone complex is? Don't all rush to volunteer.
Okay, Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. So it's after World War III. It's far in the future. Basically, cyberization has become normal. Cyberization it's become the norm. Cyberization, for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's basically where you have augments or implants put in so that you can access the internet via your brain, is the simplest way to put it. A lot of them have got like cybernetic arms, bodies, things like that. Basically, allows them to do things that normal humans wouldn't be able to do: jump faster, see further, leap, whatever. Everybody's Superman. Basically, it's a broken future. It's an intelligence team in Japan called Section 9, which is sort of what the series revolves around. And two of the main sort of operatives are Bato, which is a giant ex-military cyborg, and Major Motoko Kusanagi, who is a purple-haired fembot.
She's a babe.
Yeah. She's amazing, is she?
She looks like to go to work dressed in wrestling clothes.
Yeah, she does. She likes to wear leotards. Just randomly turns up in like
nothing
swimwear and things.
Yeah. Nothing.
For a secret agent, she's very conspicuous.
Well, thankfully, she can often turn invisible. So,
What a shame.
But yeah, the way I describe it is: have you seen The Professionals? Well, it's like that, but in 2030, but they're cyborgs. Because when I was watching it, I was like, this is a lot more like The Professionals than I remember, because I don't think I'd seen when I first saw it in 2002-2003, it had been a long time since I'd seen The Professionals, probably when I was 5 or 6 or something. Vaguely remember playing it, but when I watched it now, having seen loads of The Professionals, because it's on ITV4 all the time, I was like, all the procedural stuff in it is pretty much straight out The Professionals. And so I looked it up. And apparently Shiro had done Professionals Dojin back when he was doing his early work. And there's a character in Appleseed who is pretty much straight Lewis Collins from The Professionals, completely visually based on him. And yeah, so it's not a coincidence. He knows The Professionals, and so...
There's no Ford Capri in this, so.
No, and there's no... The soundtrack is not... The theme tune is not as good.
Whoa, not as good?
Nice cars, though.
He does like it, yeah. But basically, so on one of the Shiro fan sites, they sort of point out how Batal is basically... Oh God, I can't remember, never remember which one's Bodhi and which one's Doyle. So Batal's Bodhi, Tagusa's Doyle, and Aramaki is George Cowley, basically.
Was this, when he was writing these doujins, was this before or after he did Black Magic?
I think before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great overview.
I think it's the character Magus in Appleseed, one of their sort of the other, one of the other guys in the whatever the mercenary crew they're in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he straight looks like Bodhi. But yeah, the backgrounds of Batal, because Batal's ex-army and Tagusa's ex-police, which are the backgrounds of Bodhi and Doyle in The Professionals. And sort of, particularly early on in the TV series, Batal's more with Tagusa than he is with the Major.
Mm.
They tend to pair them up in the TV series early on.
Yeah, because they sort of play off each other well.
Yeah.
But
Aramaki is the closest to being George Cowley out of The Professionals. And all the sort of stuff they deal with, the sort of foreign political stuff, Cold War,
foreign affairs
things, yeah. Into
home security.
Yeah, and the sort of sense of justice above actual loyalty to other people in the government.
Mm.
Often, yeah, finding themselves against people inside the government. And lots of, but yeah, unfortunately, the exposition is not done as quickly as it is in The Professionals.
you've made a better job of explaining it than I ever could, actually, but just by saying that, because I was going to try and like explain why everybody's a robot and things, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I didn't think watching it that they were robots, except for the storyline which runs through about the Laughing Man.
A lot of the crimes, though, a lot of it's cybercrime, and everyone's getting brain hacked. So.
Yeah. But it is pretty much other crimes dressed up a bit to make it more science fiction-y. Yeah.
More cyberpunk.
Yeah. And my favourite episode is the one which is the least cybery of them all, I think, which is
which one?
The one where they go to England.
That episode. It's a good story. Yeah. Like, I love the build-up, and episode, I love the kind of interaction stuff, but... I was annoyed there was no Cockney accents. I was saying like,
they tried it with one of the members of the SWAT team.
Do they really?
Yeah, they give it a little go and then realise it doesn't work. And for the rest of the
show. Yeah,
what little go? What does he say? What
I can't
he
remember.
Say? He says something like, "If I were you, I'd back off, miss," or something like that. Or I said, "I'll have you in cuffs." That's it. That's what he said.
Oh yes, yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Authentic English dialect. But I do like how Japan is all this super futuristic dystopia, and then they go to England and it looks exactly like England.
But see, I don't think they had England down properly, in the sense that they kind of had it mixed up between like France and Italy. Like, no, since when was London like this big hub for wine? Like, they made it look like Italy or France or something.
People do that as sort of investment, though.
It's an investment. It's not like a...
Other than like the Bobby's on the beat. It was more like...
A bit cosmopolitan, maybe, but London is a bit of a mix.
What I was impressed at, though, they got the high-vis coats right on the policeman.
That's true, yeah.
Illuminous markers.
Yeah.
The police cars looked exactly the same. In fact, they look older, because obviously it was made in 2002, than they do now. But yeah, like the establishing shot of them being in England is a Bobby and a double-decker red bus.
Is this what the world thinks of us?
Yes.
That's exactly. Yeah. Have you not played Street Fighter and been on Dudley's level on Thursday?
Oh, yeah, it's very... I would love to live in that version of London. It's very nice.
Downton?
Rose-tinted is what it is.
Could you afford to live in a place like that? Oof.
There's not one person getting stabbed or robbed.
Let's get beaten up by burly Street Fighters.
Yeah, but he's doing it in a gentlemanly manner, and he's got a nice moustache. It's not, you know...
What, is that a ticket to beat someone up? A curly tash?
Gutter trash.
Nah, anyway. That wasn't my favourite episode. No. But I just want to mention about Bato. I kind of halfway through the show, it suddenly clicked to me. You know, when you were a kid and you'd get like two coins and like nip them in your eyes. But I just, and once you see that, you can't unsee it. And he constantly looks like he's squinting with like two 50 pence pieces.
Just about to rewatch series two, and I think you just wrecked it for me.
Just look at a picture of him right now. If you listen to this somewhere, look at a picture of him right now.
I had a similar thought, but I thought it was like bottle tops.
Someone Photoshop that, actually. Someone Photoshop it. Let's make that into a competition, actually. That'd be pretty cool.
Are you giving away prizes?
Yeah, I'll do a competition. I'll give an internet to the person that can do the funniest Photoshop of Bato's eyes.
How about you give them one of your personal specialist sketches?
My personal what, sketches?
Specialist sketches.
Oh, I don't know. Might have some like under 18 listeners. Never know. Goodness.
I can draw other things, Lewis. That's just what happens when you get me drunk and give me a pen.
Pretty sure it was the middle of the day.
Yeah, well, I was at a convention, wasn't I?
Yeah. We can't be too much more cryptic, so let's move on.
Right, moving on. Yes, so that was my favourite standalone episode. So any of you guys have favourite standalone? I think you mentioned Pat Labour ripoff one.
My
favourites, but the season two stuff, most of my favourite stuff sits in season two.
You can't do that.
No.
I know.
However, come back in 2 years and we'll talk about it then.
Yeah. However, for season one, I didn't realise it was season one after chatting to Greg, so I kind of rushed watching stuff for this. So I watched like the first three or four and then jumped to the last six to watch them. I like the boxer episode.
Yes.
With Bato and the cybernetic black spot.
Prosthetic
blind spot.
That
is good. It made me like I could see someone doing like a $1 million baby AMV trailer with that.
I think you need to do it.
I wanted them. I wanted them to explain the cybernetic blind spot to me in the series, but they didn't. But now asking just to explain it. He can't see around the 10 pences, can he? That's what
exactly. Heads or tails.
You know, it's good because it just goes into kind of Bato's psyche a little bit, and it just kind of explains. And then there's the whole, just the way the episode ends. So, like, I think he lets him use it. Is that right? Or he gets around it?
Yeah, I don't know how. They would probably take like a whole episode to explain.
Basically, the whole idea is that he feigned the loss at the beginning to gain the guy's trust.
Yes.
And all along, he had a way around it.
You're right.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. It was in my not-so-prosthetic blind spot.
I've looked at episode 3, actually. Episode 2 was the Pat Labour tank run amok.
So which one's episode 3, then?
Episode 3 is the one with the Jerry robots.
That's the one, yeah.
The Jerry robots?
Yes.
The guy that wants to... But basically, this guy uploads a virus to the internet that kills a certain model of cyborg, makes them commit suicide in various ways, and he wants to have a unique. He's fallen in love with this cyborg. Basically, he wants it to be unique, and there's loads of them that look the same. And he's killing all the others with the virus.
I was disappointed because I had it on. I had it on in the background, and I heard them talking about these Jerry robots. So then actually, I went to have a look, and I was disappointed it wasn't Jerry Seinfeld based robots.
He wiped a deal on there.
Or Jerry Lewis.
Eyes, man, oh. Yeah, Jerry Lewis. That it's episode apparently include. I didn't realize this. Apparently, it's got like an homage to A Bout de Souffle, Breathless, a Jean-Luc Godard film.
Yes.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Which part of the episode?
It's the bit where they animate a bit out of Breathless.
It's in several. They use the lines a lot. And there's a bit at the end where Togusa gets home and his wife's watching it.
See, it feels like weeks ago since I watched that episode. Like, it's just like, I can't even remember watching it. Jesus.
And she's like, 20th century movies are the best. And then Togusa just keeps rewinding and playing the same bit. Yeah.
Like some creep.
I was just waiting for his wife to get up and slap him.
Also, Bato looks like Bane. Someone needs to throw the Bane. He's got the same coat as Bane. He's got that furry coat.
Do the Bane thing as a Photoshop, but then put, like, Harvey Dent's coin as the eyes.
I did notice
now have
that
a Sunday project.
Batar does have a bit of weight fluctuation depending on who's animating that particular episode.
He gets what, a bit, like fat or thin?
Yeah, he gets a bit jowly in some episodes.
Jowly.
Like, he looks a bit older in some episodes, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, yeah.
I don't know if he's got different cyber bodies depending on how he's feeling. Yeah. I'm feeling a bit overweight today. I'll put this cyber body on.
Oh, I feel a bit too young. I'll put this old man's body on. I think it's the hair. Sometimes his hair looks really, like as you mentioned, like an old man or something. I don't know why.
He's got a grey ponytail and a cream leather jacket. He looks like he's been down the bookings.
Only Fools and Horses character.
Yeah. Except he's got 10p held in his eyes. Oh, you know what? That'd make it a really good ghetto cosplay, wouldn't it?
What bookie? Ghetto Bato.
Ghetto Bato.
10p away, please.
Yeah.
What's your favourite episode, Greg?
My favourite episode is the one where Bato's tailing the other ex-military robot. It's like it got a Rambo feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Where the war's not over in his head and he's skinning people and filming it using their eyes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. That's probably my favourite one of the series.
My favourite one's quite a boring one. And it's like just all talking. It was episode 9, the chat one, where they're in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's quite good, actually.
I was going to say that's
season 1.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that was season 1. That's the one where Kusanagi drops into the chat room and asks questions.
Yeah. That's like, there's something about the way that's like just all put together.
And you've got the guy that owns the pornography shop, or looks like he owns a pornography shop. Dead quiet with his tracksuit on and his gold chain.
See, that's such a great episode, and it kind of answers a lot, because at that stage, you've got all these dodgy episodes going on that isn't to do with the Laughing Man, and then, boom, they just answer a load of questions.
That was the point at which I thought, I'm not sure I could be bothered watching the rest of this TV show.
Really? If
they're going to pull this sort of stuff.
Was that a Dumb It Down episode.
I disagree.
It was just too much talk. I mean, there's a lot of talking anyway, but yeah, just having an entire episode where they're just in a chat room.
Did anybody like the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest homage to us?
When?
Oh, was that the other part? That was a complex episode as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when Togusa goes to the home for kids that have got, like, cyber autism.
Yeah, that is a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was better, particularly the end where he draws the sketch.
Did you not notice that the head, the woman who was like the head of the hospital actually looked a little bit like the nurse from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No, I did not, but I would believe it, because I think they tend to do that a lot. Yeah.
Oh, that episode 9 is great. What are you talking about?
Chat episode.
Yeah,
I can see where Brian's coming from. I think it depends. You know, sometimes when you're watching or reading or listening to something and the author, the storyteller, they feel a need to recap and to go over ground. So some people maybe don't get it and it needs to be explained, but then sometimes they go into too much depth to make sure that the reader or the viewer is on the same point.
See, the reason I liked it is because, like, the Laughing Man thing is like this whole pop culture symbol that, like, everyone's kind of been part of and kind of got opinions on, and that episode kind of sums up that, like, Section 9 aren't the only ones dealing with this. Like, everyone knows about the Laughing Man. It's huge.
Even 4chan have got a thread open for it, which is what that episode basically is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I can see what it's trying to do. I just don't like the way it does it. It's more...
I couldn't have watched it in subtitles. It would have been like, ugh.
You know, because I watched Ghost in the Shell, then I've recently watched Eden of the East, and I can't help but think the Air King thing is very similar to the...
Yes.
Yeah.
I've not seen Eden of the East. What's the Air King? Tell us.
It's that one of the main characters for Eden of the East, the Salasana Manan, I can't remember his actual name now, the character's name, but he says one of his things is that he wants to be the king of Japan, and they make him into this pop culture symbol called Air King. Through, like, something that he did. He protected Japan from missiles, cut a long story short. and becomes a pop culture symbol called Air King, which is a little bit like the Laughing Man, because they kind of view him as a terrorist, yet he's not really such a bad guy. And, you know.
I thought you was leading on to something else there. I'll wait till we come maybe a bit later to talk about Gitzak, but I can see Ghost and Shell in Ian of the East.
I can. Yeah.
I mean, they're both made by the same people, aren't they?
Same director, isn't it?
They're both put out by Thingy people.
Production IG.
Yeah. So it makes sense that some things kind of match up.
There's a lot of hype for Eden and the East. It better be good when I come to watch it.
It might not. Eden and the East, I think, is a very simple plot. When I rewatched it, I think it's simple, but the way it's delivered is brilliant.
But people do not like the films.
I liked them.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who feel the films are a letdown.
They appeal to the mushy romantic in me.
From the TV series. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I think I get this emotion. When you watch something and when you follow it, I think you don't realise that when you start to like it, when it takes a turn for the worst, there's the whole you followed it through, so you ignore the bad.
I'm the guy that sat there the whole time going, just kiss him, just kiss him.
See, I don't know what context this is in.
You'll know when you see
it. No context, just random chatter. I mean, going back to Standalone, what Askew said about glad I didn't watch it in subbed, this is one of the first anime I've watched that I really went, wow, this is, dubs can be like this, the dub can be this good a quality, the voice actors fit 100%, apart from that, Cockney Cop.
That was exactly the opposite. That's pretty much the opposite opinion I had of the dub. I thought the dub was very boring, and that was part of the problem I had with... I mean, I just thought everyone was fairly one note, particularly the major. Often the script seemed stilted in trying to match sort of lip movements. So there was pauses where there shouldn't have been pauses in the English script.
That's their excuse for like speaking over the telecom.
I mean, that helps a bit, but yeah, I still thought a lot of the major characters came across very flat.
Perhaps I've got to rewatch it in Japanese. The only thing I've watched in Japanese is the final movie, and that's because I was too impatient for the dub.
I tried watching it in Japanese once, and yeah, I just couldn't.
I found it boring in Japanese as well.
I couldn't watch it because I couldn't follow it in Japanese, even though I already knew what was going to happen. I just couldn't follow it in Japanese.
It would be like trying to watch Sign of Zetsuba, which is bloody hard.
You couldn't watch that in English. I'd struggle to watch that in English.
It would help if they subbed, if they didn't do the thing. That's like a different thing altogether.
What about the animation with this? Because I noticed some proper shortcuts where late on in the series especially, someone would be on the phone to someone. In the background, somebody's hands would be there on a keyboard and their hands would just be suspended in the air. So it was just like a still shot. Instead of animating them typing, there was just his hand in the air.
Typing with his brain.
But
whenever you see somebody doing something like that, they're doing it with their brain.
I think the animation, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the first thing I noticed watching the first few episodes was this is one of the anime that's always stuck in my head as being outstanding, and these first few episodes look crap.
I disagree. I think it looks... To think that it's 2002, it's ridiculous. I think this could be released this week.
Yeah, they did a lot of panning stuff, and they did a lot of things where they could have added touches.
I'm sorry, Lewis.
As I watched the end, it improves.
Your point about the first couple of episodes looking terrible, there's some really good stuff in those first couple of episodes, animation-wise. Like when they do the whole fisheye thing, when they're inside the Tachikomas in episode 2.
There's some good stuff, but it's more the stationary stuff where they could have done more and they were being a bit lazy.
Amazing. I'm not sure they're being any lazier than anybody else is. I think it's just more noticeable because of the sheer amount of words being dropped on you at the same time.
You want something pretty going on in the background.
Because it is kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff. The amount of locations and the amount of background painting they've done in it is kind of ridiculous because there's not many locations they reuse all that often.
That's why the major looks how she does, because if it was anyone else saying all that, it wouldn't be interesting.
Yeah.
And what about Togus's mullet?
Oh yeah, Togus's mullet is absolutely beautiful. I just
it's an extra character. It's an extra part of Section 9.
That's because he's trying throwback. To. He's trying to hide the bit of cybernetics he's got. You see, he's hiding.
You know,
he could have grew in a battle ponytail and like spread out a little bit.
Do you know? Bato, actually, your point about him looking like Bane, I think he's more like Steven Seagal with Penny.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
That would also explain the weight fluctuations.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah. One day he's in Nico, the next day he's in Under Siege.
However, he wasn't wearing many gowns, which
Can't have been him. Can't have been.
But I mean, in general, I find Shiro stuff too wordy in the first place, even his comics.
So I like the inclusion of the sociology and everything else that goes with it. I think, to me, that's interesting because I like that kind of stuff. But
yeah, I just rather you showed it rather than didn't tell.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
I can see where you're coming from.
Having said that, I do like the sheer gall of the final episode. Saying 3 months later, everything's okay. You didn't have to do anything at all.
Just when Togus is about to cap, like, the Attorney General or whatever... And then Bato turns and put the gun down, man.
I thought that bit was a dream. I thought so much of that was a dream where, because they just laugh about her getting
multiple.
Yeah, like they just laugh about that, and I thought, oh, this is a dream. This has got to be a dream. This is too. This doesn't fit in with the series.
It does fit.
It's our dream
because they.
It does fit
because they're all mates and jerks to each other.
But. Yeah. I nearly cried my eyes out at that bit.
But when she got shot on me.
Yeah! Spoilers, but she didn't just get shot, she gets.
Bato cried his pennies out.
When you rewatch it and you see her move her lips just beforehand, and all the other stuff she's done up till then, you kind of got the feeling that she's done something.
Stop trying to say you're smart, Lewis. You didn't get it. None of us got it. We all thought she was dead.
No,
we all thought she was dead.
Except
5 years ago, I can't say I got that the first time, but having rewatched it, you noticed the
extra. You know, when you rewatch,
is it that she gets at? What's her whisper? What's her last words?
It's not so much last words as just a random mouth movement, because she's remote controlling the body is the whole point. She's downloaded her consciousness to the net, and the body, whatever happens to the body now, doesn't matter.
Because I want to check something, because I didn't go back and rewatch it, but you know the body that she has in the end? She's obviously got her normal looking body and the like the little, like it's almost like a kid.
Yeah.
A young girl. Do you see that earlier on in the series?
Yes, you do. You know when the Tachikoma goes out by itself and helps the little girl?
Yeah. I thought that was that, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Watch part two as well, and it will explain other stuff. If you watch as I see two, it explains more.
Oh, I'm going to check out season... I'm going to start, like, Monday. I'm not even joking.
Definitely watch season two.
Oh. I think season two is better than season one. I think the Laughing Man story is pretty decent, but I think all of the standalone stuff's a lot better in season two.
Is the Laughing Man story carried on in season two?
No.
Ah, gutted.
You're dealing with a new type of terrorist.
Have you noticed, if we're talking about the end of the series as well, have you noticed that final scene... So... Like it or hate it, Matrix Reloaded or the bit with the architect, that library scene.
What happens at the very end again?
Where they end up in the library and they're talking to the Laughing Man.
Don't do this, Lewis. Don't say that the Matrix influenced Ghost in the Shell. Because you know
I'm saying ripped it off. I'm saying that Reloaded feels like it lifted that scene.
But this didn't. This
yeah, but everything the Matrix is was lifted from Ghost in the Shell, Lewis.
And other films, yeah, I know.
Reloaded is like around the same time as
2003.
Unless they filmed that as it aired in Japan.
I think the Wachowski brothers were watching it in Japan.
In fact, this finished airing in 2003, I think, in Japan.
Yeah, I was gonna say I imagine they probably just both had read something else that they both got it from.
Probably.
It just felt weird how the finish of each series in the film is they go into a room and they speak to the person that knows everything.
Yeah, it's like the Runaway Tank thing. While I've said it, they nicked it from Pat Laver, I'm pretty sure Pat Laver nicked it from somewhere else as well.
That is a blatant. That was blatantly stolen from Pat Laver.
See, I don't even remember the Runaway Tank.
Yeah, see, I
actually don't remember it.
I don't think so, Greg, because there's the Paranoia role playing game has an adventure about a runaway robot tank. And that's from like the mid 80s, and that's clearly parodying some sci-fi things. I think they've just all read the same sci-fi book about a tank.
So questions, where did the Runaway Train come from? And where did that
come from? It's a kid's book printed on thick cardboard called The Runaway Tank. The tank was rolling fast. The tank was rolling very fast. It blew up a house. It blew up a skyscraper.
So, anyway, we did mention them. Tachikomas. Opinions. Oh, yes. They are.
Okay, I'm going to ask, love or hate? Just one word answer, then move on.
I hated them, and then I started loving them by the end.
Yes. I agree.
I couldn't not love the Tachikomas. I thought they were brilliant. I like the fact they get more self-aware throughout the series.
Mm. Yeah, I was more upset about them getting their end than the Major's end.
Their sacrifice is pretty brilliant, to be honest.
They became capable of self-sacrifice. Did that not bring a tear to your eye?
It did. It actually did. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And Barrow doesn't have a clue.
But still in the abstract, though.
I love how inquisitive they are and like how they find everything absolutely amazingly exciting. Like, there's a great bit actually in one of the episodes where they take them on a mission. I think it's the episode with the organ trade thing. I think the
president's daughter gets nabbed or something.
I think they've been not that one. They were decommissioned at that point.
Yeah, oh, right.
I'm talking about the one where it's the medical students that have been relabeling organs and
selling them
on. There's a bit where the Tachikoma feels the need to point out that there's a dead end, just because it's like it feels so important being on a mission. So.
Do the voice, Greg. Do the voice.
Major, it's a dead end.
Just feels the need to point out this dead end. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And the way, you know, like the way they're animated as well, and the way when you watch it and when you listen to the things that they're actually saying, you can almost see the look of mischief on them.
like scuttling around the street?
Yeah. When you look at the way they look like naughty kids constantly. Just look like naughty kids.
I have to say, the animation of them has held up very well. It's held up better than other CGI animation in the same show. You look at some of the CGI vehicles, and they don't look as good, but they still look like really good 10 years on.
The cars.
Yeah.
When they CGI the cars, and the Jigabachi helicopters don't look so great sometimes.
I can't believe it's 10 years old. I'm going to go as far as saying that. Yeah. I cannot believe it's 10 years old.
It was very ahead of its time, wasn't it?
It still feels really...
It feels the tiniest dated now, but mostly overall, you look at it, and if you put it against everything else back then, it must have been jaw-dropping back at the time.
Yeah, visually it's great. I'm not sure, sort of topically, whether it's ahead of its time. I think it was already behind the times when it came out.
Oh, I meant visually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're talking visually, yeah.
Yeah, because...
I'm going to say it's timeless. I'm going to go as far as say that it's timeless.
Yeah.
I'll agree. I think it is in the same way that Akira is, but you can still tell Akira is an older film.
It is my it's got to be my number one.
The reason you can tell Akira's an older film is because nobody would spend that much money on an anime film nowadays.
When I watch Akira, I just the only thing that goes through my head is the amount of labour that went into animating it. Just the poor guy that had to draw the rain.
Do you feel tired watching it?
Yeah.
Does your hand cramp up?
It does, yeah. I imagine being that man painting the rain, staying late at night. After hours, everyone else has gone home. There's only one desk lamp on and it's him painting rain.
I've not seen Akira in years. It used to be the big thing back when I first started watching anime. I think that's how I've avoided it. But I want to rewatch it and read the manga now.
I first got into anime, the one that was actually like the sort of access thing, was actually Ghost in the Shell. The Ghost in the Shell movie, the first movie, that was like the sort of main access one. It was that Macross Plus.
It took me a lot of years to watch the Ghost in the Shell film.
It's one of the first ones I watched that. Yeah,
I saw the film at Leicester Square, one of the Leicester Square cinemas. In, how long? Let me do the maths. 95.
Bloody hell.
Wow.
Isn't it a 95 film?
I believe so, yes, because it was like, yay, we just made manga video going, we helped make this movie. Everyone go and see it.
Ghost. You're 95?
Yeah, because I was living in Berkhamsted.
I'd have been 15 and I'm sure I'd have seen... No, I'd have been 10. Yep, so that's right.
Yeah, there we go. Released December the 8th, 1995 in the UK.
You don't need to do your research, I'm here. I'll tell you the dates. I must have been pretty good to see in the cinema, but...
It was not, because it was a crappy cinema.
Oh, well, I was kind of going to get onto something similar to that, because after watching this show, Netflix has both the film and the 2.0 version. And 2.0 is ridiculous. It's widescreen, it's everything that you would want the first film to be. And looking back at the transfer of however shite it looks, the original, it still looks pretty good. It's part of it still looks pretty good. But 2.0 looks fantastic.
I've got both, and it does. It looks brilliant. Like, Netflix is good, but you never quite get the same thing. I've realised this, that when you watch a DVD, it still can outbeat Netflix at its highest.
Yeah, because when you're streaming it, no matter how high quality the file you're streaming is, it's always going to get dulled down slightly.
Oh, mine looks fine.
Like, watch a DVD,
yeah, but it will never look as good as it would if you had the Blu-ray.
The Blu-ray, but yeah. The DVD, I think it'll be like...
Watch a DVD again. If you've got something on DVD, watch it on DVD, then watch it against your Netflix copy, and you can tell.
I don't know, because there's a lot of stuff in HD on Netflix, remember?
Yeah, it's on HD, but I think the fact it's in HD just means it's being streamed at that level. It doesn't mean that it's the quality of everything that's going with it is good.
I've been shocked recently at that.
But a lot of DVDs and Blu-rays look like crap as well, so... you do run into some problems. I watched Ghostbusters on HD on Netflix, and it was okay. It looked great until it got to really dark scenes, and then you could see it in some of the blacks, where it was sort of breaking up a bit.
That Ghostbusters Blu-ray is horrendous. It's like notorious, isn't it?
Yeah, so I imagine the Netflix is probably just as good as watching the Blu-ray of that. Probably just coming off the Blu-ray. Yeah, so other Shirow stuff. Do you enjoy it? What have you seen?
Dominion Tank Police. Yeah. I love Dominion Tank Police.
People did back in the day, and my brother loved it.
I love it.
I still love it. I still think it's brilliant.
The two cat girls are brilliant.
Yeah, the only things I can remember are the penis mines and the two cat girls.
The ultimate deterrent, the big inflatable penises, yeah.
Yes.
It's about any that is all. That is actually, if you ask anyone who's ever seen Dominion 10, please, what it's about, they'll say penises and cat girls.
I've seen Black Magic 66 as well.
I've seen that many
which is times. I've got it on VHS somewhere. I remember I had it. It was on Sci-Fi one night, and I recorded it, and I loved it. It's probably not that good anymore. It's like when I watched it, it was when I was kind of really into Dragon Ball Z, and it was it's like the Android saga condensed into an OVA. It's like basically these two androids wreaking havoc, basically.
I've bound it down and check it out.
I can't remember if it's as good as I remember, but I really liked it.
See, all I remember, other than Ghost in the Shell, is probably Appleseed. And Appleseed is really disjointed memories for me, because I've seen different OVAs and maybe parts of series.
Yeah, there's 1988 OVA, which manga put out in the 90s. And then there's
I've seen that one on VHS.
There's the theatrical movie in 2004. Is there a sequel to it as well?
Appleseed Ex Machina.
Is that the full CG thing?
No, that's the do-over. That's the CG version.
CG one, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that at Icon 05.
Did you? I think you might know. You'd have seen the 2004 one at 05, because Ex Machina was 2007.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Unless I've seen it 2 years early. Yeah, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
I saw it at IROG 5, and everything I said about... Everything I didn't like about Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex goes triple for Appleseed, the movie.
Oh, yeah. It's not very good. I was, really excited.
The exposition in that is... There's like a character whose sole job is giving exposition. At least the guy with the beard gets to do some other things, not just give exposition in there.
What, Ishikawa?
That's the guy, yeah.
Ishikawa.
He just sits behind a pair of binoculars all day.
Yeah, can you remember, give the names of the other three guys?
What, Ishikawa?
Boma? Was it Saito? Boma?
Ishikawa, Boma, Paz, Saito.
Saito's got an excellent, excellent episode in Series 2.
Yeah.
But you never say any more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else?
There's the the bald guy. The eyelash guy.
Paz is the guy that looks like a Yakuza. With the
The nondescript guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, why are they even there? I get
what's the name?
Just making up the numbers.
And they're in the film as well.
I think in season two, they each get sort of, you get more background on those guys. You get to sort of learn a little bit more. But.
Yeah, that's a bit better. But for most of the series, I was like, well, they're there to make the numbers up when they do a raid or something, but...
Made the numbers.
The whole idea is they all specialise in something different, and they're all ex-military. So
what's Ishikawa's job? Getting Ishikawa's the worst headaches ever.
He's like communications and like.
Is Ishikawa the one that hacked the granddad?
Recon, isn't he? He's communications and recon. He's like the research dude.
And that's doesn't he have issue. A shop named after him as well?
He's got an emporium.
Is that like the internet cafe? Is that
it's like shop? I think it's more like an arcade.
Yeah, it's like a pachinko. Arcade is what he's got. Ishikawa. Yes. So, anything else?
Well, don't do that, Brian. You made that like you didn't enjoy it.
I did. Well, not really. There was better ways I could have spent my time.
No.
I'm glad there's not any Shiro thing related in 2003. So
I wish there was.
We do. Have.
We should do an. If you think this is wordy, have you seen Innocence?
No, I haven't seen
Innocence. There's a bit in Innocence where it makes you think the DVD is skipping. I'm sure everybody DVD, check the disc and go, what the hell's going on? Yeah.
It's a great film.
Yeah, I love Innocence.
I think it's absolutely fabulous. It looks fucking awesome, and I'm going to swear, it looks absolutely ridiculous.
I was trying to go
with it. I rewatch Innocence. It's got a lot. In terms of philosophical stuff, if I remember right, that had more than anything else.
It's got more than anything else I'd ever seen at this point.
It will make you think. I tried to watch it while building Gunpla, and I couldn't. I had to stop building Gunpla.
What, and turn both things off and sit in silence for a few moments while it all sunk in? It is so wordy. But it's really good.
I've been doing that this afternoon, watching Ghost in the Shell building Exia.
Yeah, but you've been watching the standalone complex. You can kind of do that. If you try to watch Innocence and build something at the same time.
Yeah, because one's a cop show and the other one's a Mamoru Oshii film.
Yeah.
In fact, we're going to do an Innocence episode. I'm going to make Brian watch it.
Yeah, in two years' time.
Years and years ago, I did a horrible AMV for Innocence. Horrible.
Have you still got it on YouTube?
Somewhere.
I want Brian to put a link to an AMV.
It's called Dolls, and it uses the dance track Children by Miles, what's his name?
I don't think any of us are going to answer yes to that.
Is this Dolls by Miles?
No, Dolls, it's by me. It's by us. It's just called it. The dance track I use, that's
called Toy Dolls.
But it's a horrible AMV.
In the shell.
Robert Miles.
That's the one, yes. Him.
I can't find
it. Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Midnight.
You might find my AMV eventually, but it was terrible. But
yeah, I've got an AMV to put in to give Brian as a link. It was a big multi-editor project I was part of, and we used Inner Universe. So a remix of it for Ghost in a Shell.
Yeah.
And I just think it's very appropriate. So that'll go on the link.
Well,
you can put mine, if you can find mine, you can have it.
Oh, we're going to find this.
Yeah, you can have it as a booby prize. In fact, I'm going to try and find it for you.
Booby prize. You can
have it as the...
That's one thing in that London episode that really did make me laugh, when somebody said the word booby trap. I thought only kids said that.
Booby trap's an actual thing. It's an official term.
It probably is, but it sounds like, not because of the word boob. It's just
the way you said that. Now we all think you do think that.
No. It's like I didn't even.
I thought it before you said it. Before you tried to justify.
No. I'm not. It's just the word booby trap. It seems like a very. Because I used to use the word booby trap for all sorts of things, like, oh, I'm going to set a booby trap.
Imagine you being some kind of police detective now, ask you, and then someone says, my name is booby trapped, and you just crease up.
blow our cover.
There you go. This is from years and years and years ago. There's two AMVs here. There's a really crap Dragon Ball Z one as well.
I'm watching these both after this.
You can watch them back to back.
Oh, yo, I'm going to watch both, definitely.
Where's the conversation with everyone in so I can...
I want to mention my favourite scene in the...
I'll give the links to Lewis and he can spread them.
Oh, good.
Just put them in the bottom conversation box.
That's my channel, Lewis. There you go.
You can put them in the bottom box.
That's what I've just done.
No, you sent it.
Anyway, I've got
as exciting as Skype technical.
Is it even a technical?
Favorite
scene in the entire show. We forgot one key point: the soundtrack.
Okay, what do you want to say about the soundtrack?
Yeah. I think it's absolutely brilliant. There's points in the show where it just kicks in and it's like perfect. There's like, Hollywood directors need to take a lesson from the use of music in this. It's perfect. It'll just kick in at the perfect time and it'll build the mood, build the excitement. It's just perfect in every way.
It's when shit gets real.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you put it, and they use Rabbit Junk. Which is one of the tracks off the soundtrack.
There's some great.
They go down.
Almost.
That bit when everything and the team come together. I love that bit.
That's the club version of it, but yeah.
I'm not even going to try and do the words. Also, Lithium Flower.
Oh,
great
yeah.
Great ending theme.
She's so cold and human.
It's great. But yeah, favorite scene in the entire series when Kusanagi's got the big Barrett sniper rifle, reloading it with one arm.
Oh, yeah, and she's like...
She loses it. Yeah, that's good.
That is
basically
good.
Suffocating that guy inside his...
and I was just like, yeah, keep shooting him.
Saito, fuck over that weapon!
Oh, I got like total nerd chills at all that bit. Especially when the Tachikomas save Batto from
one. Because
the guy's like, oh, you killed my partner. And Batto's like, yeah, what are you going to do? Look at my eyes, for God. Look at my eyes.
Your argument's invalid. I have 50 pence pieces for it.
Yeah, talking of coins, I did like the cyborg who shot 500 yen coins at her arm.
Oh, the Chinese cyborg.
Is that what that was all about? Were they meant to be coins?
Yes,
they were coins.
Yeah,
500 yen coins.
It's her little thing against capitalism, isn't it?
Is that what it is? So she gives away money.
She hates capitalism. She's like some communist, like terrorist / operative for China or whatever. Like, she's a hit woman, isn't she?
Yeah. She goes to get that bloke who's already dead.
She has this whole little rant when she first arrives in Japan. It's like, it reeks of capitalism.
And see, for me, that's one of like the minor episodes, but still a great episode.
Yeah.
So many great episodes.
Yeah, I just wish it had been a bit more... I think the procedural stuff worked better than the laughing
philosophy,
man.
Philosophy
and stuff. Yeah, and the philosophy stuff is just... It always seems like... had a story, and then let's have a bit of COD philosophy just to wrap everything up. Which never wraps anything up at all, because let's just go on with our lives regardless.
It's like newspaper on your fish and chips.
What? What? Read it while eating?
I don't know. I mean, I usually just buy a newspaper, but if you buy fish and chips purely to get the local paper, then...
I thought you was going to go into something quite philosophical then about eating food and then spotting an article on the paper when you're eating it. And it makes you think about stuff when you weren't intending to think about stuff.
That would be good, Lewis.
Ability to reduce things to ridiculous, like...
Analogies.
Yeah, ridiculous analogies. Like, someone was on about... I think one of my mates was talking about what it must be like to just, like, can you imagine actual nothingness? Can you imagine, like, if reincarnation is real, dying and then coming back, how would you know that you lived before or something? And I said, well, it's like erasing your save data. I just boiled it down to that, and he just looked at me, went into the kitchen and fetched another beer. Just went to stone silence, looked at me, went and fetched another beer. Conversation was completely different when he came back.
Was it Gil?
No, it was Duncan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, I the way the philosophy stuff comes off in this is kind of how the lesbian stuff comes off in it. It's kind of thought, they've kind of said, well, it's Ghost in the Shell. We've got to put it in, I suppose.
By the way, she's a lesbian. No, the thing I like about it is the way Batto deals with that. You know, like later on in the series when he's like constantly asking her, why don't you have the male body? Why don't you just opt for a male body?
I think it's pretty early on in the series as well. It's consistent all the way through.
It gets like more and more urgent later on. He gets more and more sort of heavy with it, and it's because I think he actually fancies her,
Oh, he totally loves her.
Yeah,
he totally
loves he's her. In love with her, and like he'd be more comfortable with having her as his war buddy if she was in like a male mech body or something like that. just because he like because of his feelings getting in the way of his job and all that. I think that's quite cool.
But I was a great character. He's a fantastic character.
Yeah, he's very good.
I didn't think I would like him quite as much as I did.
I like when you get like little snippets of his like military past.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes. He gets angry, doesn't he? Really angry. When Tokus is drinking that coffee and whining about it in the car.
Well, that's the interesting thing. The things like they go drinking. Do they do that in season one?
Not so much.
There is a bar. There's a bar that keeps popping up. Well, I think
there's that bar that's run by that big dude who has like the really effeminate voice.
Oh, the most ridiculous voice ever.
The worst Mike Tyson impersonation.
don't usually take jobs from people other than the little lady, but for you, I'll make an exception.
That could have well have been a clip from the episode just there. That was perfect, Greg. I'm not even joking.
I think we found Greg's new career.
Yeah.
What voice acting?
Ghost in the Shell.
You can be the new Grant M.
Christopher Sabat.
Oh. 10 out of 10. I'm going to throw numbers out now. 10 out of 10 this show. It's about time.
He's chucking numbers at me. I don't know how to dodge this. I'll give it 10 out of 10 as well, I think. I'd have to. It's up there. It's like one of my most
Lewis,
favorite.
You're going
to
be guilted into
go on, do it.
Giving it a mark out of 10.
I'm thinking of reasons not to give it 10 out of 10. And I'm struggling, so I have to say 10 out of 10. The only reason I wouldn't, if I was to base it on everything, I think the series works much better as the complete story by the time it's all finished. And I feel like we're kind of halfway there.
See, things I don't like giving things 10 out of 10 because that implies that it's perfect, and it's definitely not. But I think I would have to give it 10 out of 10.
See, I just apologise to those in the past who've said, oh, what? And I've been like, nah, it's too boring. I get bored too quick. I'm not into that at all. I apologise to all those people.
And I don't like to give things out of 10, but I should give it 6 out of 10.
Ooh!
That's quite high for Brian. I think that's reasonable.
I don't think it is. Brian's a funny one like that. There'll be something he'll throw a 9 at.
So we've got the judges table, and then Brian's the twisted queen at the end.
A reference for comparison, Brian, what do you give Polar Bear Cafe?
11. Polar Bear Cafe, I'd give 8.
An 8.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say an 8. Knew it.
If I had to. I don't like to give things out of 10, really. Except when we
little sloppy on the footwork, was it?
And it's on Armageddon. That's the only time I'd like to give things out of 10.
I try not to give. I'll tell you what. What is the worst? I hate the 5-star method. Stars, ridiculous.
1.5 stars.
Yeah, it's stupid. One thing can be 3 stars. It's really good, and another thing can just make a 3-star because it's okay. It just doesn't work.
Stars rating doesn't work. I think the best way to do it is percentages. But then again, how can you? Then again, it's all subjective.
Percentages anyway, nearly.
It's all subjective anyway. So how can you actually like?
Just read the review. Ignore the score.
Yeah, I think reviews are the better way to go. Read people's thoughts and opinions on something. Not, oh, this person gave it 9, so I'm going to.
But don't let it influence you.
Yeah, and you know, don't listen to me. I like cartoons about funny animals more than I'd like them about cyberpunk
insects biting bots and.
Yes. Oh,
I like cartoons that make me think really hard. So,
See, I think this was as Western as I could get from an anime.
Ah, that leads us nicely into my game.
It's almost like it was set up, but
it wasn't.
It's a set up. He had your eyes hacked, Askew.
Yeah, oh dear, it's terrible. You don't want to see what
all of a sudden, all of your faces on Skype on the pictures get replaced by Laughing Man symbol.
great logo. Right. I've never knew what it meant until now.
That's like the laziest cosplay I've ever seen as well.
Oh,
plus, no. I'm walking around with just that on a bit of cardboard on their face.
Oh, on a stick, but yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yeah, so I'm
going to do it. It's Blue Park.
I am going to describe a bunch of 2002 cartoons to you.
Ooh.
But these aren't Japanese cartoons. They're American, Canadian, and British cartoons.
Mm.
And see if you can identify from my descriptions what they are.
I'm so excited. I love the game.
So, Greg, your first time here. So, you get to go first.
Okay.
This is a cartoon. It's a story about three superhero kids. Captain Crandall, Skate Lad and Rope Girl.
Oh. Has he got to guess the title?
Yes. Do you remember that cartoon?
Rope Girl. Oh.
2002.
Is it a Cartoon Network thing?
I can't tell you that.
I can't,
that might help. It's a Disney cartoon.
Then I'm lost because.
Okay, it is Timo Supremo.
Ah, okay. No, I don't watch a lot of XD, so.
It was written by Craig McCracken, Powerpuff Girls fame, and Rob Renzetti.
That's a brilliant name, Craig McCracken.
almost as good as Genndy Tartakovsky.
Okay, Lewis, here we go. Here's one for you. A teenage crime fighter who has the task of dealing with worldwide family and school issues every day. I believe this was Disney as well.
Ben 10?
No.
Doug.
Kim,
I think
Possible.
I might know what this is. Yeah, I was going to say.
Ah.
I defer because of a lot
Ben
of
10's stuff. New as hell.
Yeah.
It's been going a while. It's on to its fourth iteration, I think.
Yeah, it's not two. It's not two or two.
Right, Anthony, here we go.
Yes.
This show.
What was it?
It was Kim Possible, last one was.
Oh. with the weasel.
Kim Possible for us.
There's a hairless rat mole, I think, or whatever it was. Hairless mole rats, that's it. This show centers on a robotic teenager attending a suburban middle school. I'll tell you who.
Is it Disney or?
I'm just looking up for you. It is Cartoon Network.
Is it Rhino High?
No. Oh. It is Whatever Happened to Robot Jones?
Oh, I see. I never caught any of that. I
guess Rhino High.
Okay, great.
When was. Yeah.
These are all 2002.
Yeah.
This show takes place on a fictional planet of myth, magic, and fantasy. The show's lead character is the young son of the planet's rulers. It is also a remake of a 1980s cartoon.
Oh, dear. It's not He-Man, is it?
It is. It's He-Man and the Masters.
Oh. Yeah. I was thinking it might have been Prince Adam. The way you described it, I was thinking something really goofy, but then I thought, no, it's going to be He-Man.
Okay, that's 1 point to Greg. Lewis.
Yep.
This cartoon follows the adventures of three children, Ricochet, the Flea, and Buena Girl, as they struggle through the foremost world-renowned international school of Lucha, where they study.
I know it.
I know it as well.
I'm going to take the worst step in the dark. Dora the Explorer.
Is it like Lucha or something?
Yes, it is Lucha Lucha. You are.
Yes! Get it!
Dora the Explorer, Lewis.
I heard Spanish.
Because they're all Mexican. Is this what it's called?
Moving on, Brian.
Racial profiling.
Yeah.
They're a cartoon. And they speak Spanish. They must be Dora the Explorer. Okay, Anthony. This cartoon featured classic cartoon characters as babies and toddlers.
Ha! Is it Looney Tunes Children or whatever it's called?
That's almost right. Baby Looney Tunes, I'll give you that.
I'm sure it was Looney Tunes Kids over here or something. Either way, I got it right. Forget it. I'm going to dig holes.
Righty-ho. Okay, final round. I think... it might have two more rounds. Let me just check. One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah, two more rounds. Okay, Greg, this is a parody of hard-boiled police shows involving a safety patrol at X Middle School. Apparently, it currently airs on Cartoon Network in the UK.
That could be a dead giveaway if you watch Cartoon Network.
I don't have Sky anymore. X Middle School, and it's like a hard-boiled cop show. No, sorry.
Okay, it's Fillmore. Oh, sorry, Disney. Cartoon Network. I misled you.
No, Greg would have got it.
No, it's just
you thought
Disney.
It's not Fillmore because it's Cartoon Network. Damn it.
Lewis.
Oh,
Okay.
The ninth incarnation of this popular cartoon franchise has a theme tune by the band Simple Plan. 2002. It's the ninth version of this cartoon franchise. And the theme tune by Simple Plan.
Can you do a little bit of the tune?
No, because it mentions the title.
Hum it.
No, I can't remember. I can't sing it. I'd have to sing it to get it right.
Is it a cartoon that could also have been an anime to start with?
Pardon? No.
Is it a cartoon that was also an anime?
No. There's eight different versions of it previous to this.
Oh, God.
See, I was going to throw out Transformers, but I'm just going to say I'd give up because of Transformers started as an anime and then it went off in its different directions.
Don't do that, Lewis.
No, this is What's New Scooby-Doo.
Oh.
I was thinking what has got a pop punk intro theme nowadays.
I could take it here. Well, I could be on top.
Okay, Anthony. Five children with a high-tech treehouse.
Oh,
that's an easy one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You put us right off there. You've just thrown a spanner in the works for that one. No clue. No idea.
Greg, do you want to have a guess?
Yeah, Kids Next Door.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, he can't get the point.
No, he didn't get the point.
Oh, good.
Okay, Greg, this is a British cartoon based on a famous British comedy character.
From 2002.
Yes.
So it's not Mr. Blobby.
You are close, though. You had one of the words right there.
I hummed it. It was a song. Oh, his words. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. No.
Mr. Bean, the animated series.
Damn it. I want a question I can answer.
You have got that, Lewis.
Yeah, I think Brian said it's missed as part of the right answer.
I forgot they did an animated series of Mr. Bean.
Okay.
What did you guess originally, Greg? What did you say?
What was
Mr.
I going to
guess? Mr. Blobby,
I said.
Oh, right.
It's 2002, so it's not Mr. Blobby.
Okay, Lewis, here we go. This is another British cartoon. Aired on the web rather than the TV, though.
Oh, good.
A pair of mumbling eggs discuss pie.
I know it.
Stop tapping on a keyboard, Lewis.
I don't know. I'm the nil pa.
I can't remember what it's called, actually.
Greg, do you want to have a guess? Did you know it?
Weeble stuff?
Yes, the everyday happenings of Weeble and sometimes Weeble's friend Bob.
Yeah.
When you said internet cartoon, I wondered if it was the 118247 people, but I wouldn't have been able to give a name to it.
Right, I'm going to take this.
Okay, chance to take it here. You win your very first game. Okay, Anton Deck voiced this cartoon about a blue-haired engineer.
Oh, you've got to get this, Anthony, because it's about Geordies.
It's not. It can't be. God.
Thinking about the North Beach.
A blue-haired engineer.
Yes.
What's the Geordie name for engineers?
Sparky.
No, that's an electrician.
I don't know. That's an electrician. So quick off my old feet. What, they both did the voice for the same character?
Well, no, one played the engineer and one played his dog.
No clue.
It is Engie Benji.
Oh, I'd love to know. I did not know they were a part of that.
I'd love to know how they decided which one was going to play the dog.
Well, apparently, according to the Wikipedia, of the third series, they're adding another human character. So the one who was playing the dog had a human voice.
That's not a cartoon.
Engie Benji's a cartoon.
It's a bloody... It's people in a suit and plaster scene, isn't it?
No.
Oh, cop out.
Reclamation.
It's CG, I believe.
When are they going to fulfill my dreams and do an Engie Benji Bob the Builder crossover?
I don't know.
Where one of Bob the Builder's cranes breaks down and Engie Benji has to fix it.
I'm afraid you have to wait because first, in early 2014, there will be Engie Benji the Movie Down the Mine. A 3D computer animated feature film.
But not without Anton Deck. Well, maybe that this might be the American voices, maybe. So maybe the British
one. That's crazy that I did not know they were a part of that. Apparently, they only did one episode. I wonder, IMDb must be way off here.
Yeah, IMDb's way off.
Les Dennis also did a voice.
Yeah, many of the other characters are voiced by the entertainer Les Dennis.
My mate saw Les Dennis in Sainsbury's the other day. Foss Park Sainsbury's.
With 2 50-pence pizzas shoved in his eyes. To the
Okay.
I don't
know why he stopped there.
Well, it's a draw, so I shall go into the other game I had prepared.
Oh, epic. This was all part of the plan.
And it's a return to our popular game, Cyborg, Mutant, or Robot.
It's popular because it happened once before.
And Ashky really liked it.
I did. It was Griffin.
Okay. Greg. Yep. Mean Machine Angel from Judge Dredd. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Oh, I'm going to go with cyborg.
You're correct. 2 points to Greg now. Lewis, Fink Angel, also from Judge Dredd. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or robot?
Mutant.
You're correct. You're on the board.
Oh, good, Lou.
Anthony.
Yes.
Phantom X from the X-Men. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Robot.
Oh, I'm afraid he's a cyborg. Greg. Cyborg Kuru-chan from the anime of the same name. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Right, well, the name could give it away here, but I don't think it does. I think this is a trick question, and I think he's actually a robot.
No, he's a cyborg.
Oh.
It's his name.
True Brian fashion.
Okie dokie. Lewis, Dinosaur Neil from The Tick. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Mutant.
He is a mutant.
Ooh, ooh.
2 points as well. Okay, Anthony. Mm-hmm. Robot Man from Doom Patrol. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Oh, robot.
No, he's a cyborg.
See, I knew something like that was going to happen.
I knew it was coming.
Some technicalities.
I knew it was coming.
Okay, Greg. A rally from Dr. Slump.
Easy.
Is she a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
She is a cyborg.
No, wrong. She's a robot.
Robot.
Oh, of robot. Course.
Lewis, Doraemon from Doraemon. Is he a cyborg, a mutant, or a robot?
Mutant.
No, he's a robot. He's a robot cat.
Really? Oh.
See, it's this whole cyborg robot thing. It's a grey area, really.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. And last one, we're going to have a tiebreaker here. Anthony, yes. The Cybernauts from the Avengers, the Steve and Mrs. Peel Avengers rather than the Marvel.
They've got to be cyborgs.
No, they're robots.
Damn it, I wanted to be in the tiebreak.
Greg and Lewis are tying, so let's go for... Okay, this is the tiebreaker here. So, Greg, you get to pick first, because you're a new guest. The Mechanoids from Gaio Gaiga. Are they cyborgs, mutants, or robots?
The Mechanoids. They are cyborgs.
Okay. Lewis, what do you think? Do you want to pick robot or mutant?
I'm sure you did this at your panel. robot.
Greg was right, they're cyborgs. So the score is Greg 3, Lewis 2, and Anthony 1. Coming last.
Yes, I win.
I think we win.
Your copy of Naruto Unleashed, episode 1, is in the way.
Naruto Unleashed, disc 1.
I've run out of free stuff to give away. I need to find some more stuff for Aya next year, because...
I've got some if you want some.
I've got some free stuff. Can have, yeah.
I'll have some free stuff.
Because I have worked out how to fit games into Mad Stravaganza. So be warned. Or get excited, because you might win stuff I don't want. Okay, so, Greg, anything you want to plug before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I was going to say the competition that I wanted to run. If you can do an amusing Photoshop using... a specific still of Bato with a dumb look on his face. Okay, the one, you know, the one where there's a guy having a whiz and Bato jumps in through the window and drags him out and goes, "Hi!" He's got this big dumb smile. You need to use that one, and you need to do an amusing Photoshop with his eyes. You need to replace his eyes with something like a household object or something that would look in, you know, would fit, like bottle tops or coins or something like that. And if you want to submit your entries to my Twitter feed, which is at Bato, and I'll judge it, and the winner gets an internet, a whole internet.
Okay. Thanks for letting you decide to deal with that rather than me or Anthony, because I was about to suggest the very same thing. Okay. Lewis, anything you want to plug?
I will probably plug my podcast, which will come back in the next month or two. I did 3 episodes and nothing happened, mainly because of moving and cons and stuff, but it's structured-randomness.co.uk, I think.
I'll put a link on the site. In fact, there is a link already on the dynamitingthebrain.com site. If you look on the sidebar, you can find you there.
Cool.
Okay, Anthony, anything you want to plug?
I would like to plug, for a start, the image I've just linked into Skype of Steve Buscemi as Daisuke Aramaki from Ghost of the Shell. I would like Brian to put that on the page.
I was trying so hard not to laugh at that.
And secondly, there's going to be, I'd like Brian to put an AMV on the page of the, this is totally irrelevant for plugs, but you know, just so you know to look there. Well, so if you've not looked there, it's worth looking now, right now. But yeah, Twitter is normal. Ant Askew, ANTASKEW. My streaming page, twitch.tv/AntAskew, and that's it. That's me.
Okay, and you can find us, as always, at dynamiteinthebrain.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain. You can also find us on iTunes. Why not subscribe? Write us a nice review so more people can find out about us. There may be something going on in October with the iTunes feed. It seems to be vague talk about Feedburner closing down, or maybe just parts of it closing down. I'm going to cross that bridge when we come to it.
What's that mean for us?
It may mean that I need to resubmit an iTunes thing, or it may get complicated. Let's say.
Ugh, bloody Apple! Bloody hell!
Yeah, people that work for them.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to. It's more Google than Apple, but
bloody!
It's not easy to change switch things over in iTunes, unfortunately. Yes, so you can find me though at awesome_engine on Twitter, and my own website is awesome-engine.com. Have I put anything new up? I don't think so. No. I'm writing something which may go up not by the time you hear this, because I'm putting this up straight away for a change. But I've got something coming up. There may be 2 more 1991 TV anime stuff coming up, because I found that I could review 2 more things. That Dear Brother thing that Bradley talked about a few weeks ago, that was from 1991, and that's on that Viki site, so I can watch that. And also probably the first episode of Romance of the Three Kingdoms. So watch for those, they'll be coming up soon. And I'm also doing something ridiculous in Google Docs at the moment, which may turn into a post. Sort of tracking anime schedules from 1977 onwards. I'm gathering information. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do with it once I've gathered it, but it's filling up a spreadsheet that you can't see at the moment.
Sounds pretty epic.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's stuff there which I'd not heard of or had forgotten about or hadn't realised come one after another. And also some really confusing stuff where things got switched around in the schedule ridiculously quickly. I think Pataliero, sort of, they couldn't decide where to stick the last few episodes of it. Kept on moving around. Okay, I think that's everything I've got to plug. So join us next week, where we discuss the top hard men and women of anime. Who knows if more Ghost in the Shell characters might crop up there.
Your life's gone down the drain, your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame: dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.